1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
Right now, some people in the state of Florida have already voted by mail, and others will be voting soon either by mail or early voting or by voting on the actual election day. Although there is a big push for vote by mail, those ballots have already gone out. We do have local voter guides available at several counties. In select counties throughout the state of Florida, and you can go to FloridaVotesValues.com to obtain those voter guides. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com. If you miss this, you can go to our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church website, CovenantTabernacle.com, and we'll have links to the Florida Votes Values page there. You may wonder, why is it important? Why would a pastor be speaking on politics? And why is it that this is being talked about? Well, God cares about our government. He cares about, and the Bible speaks to every area of life, including our individual life, our family life, our church life, and also to civil government. So we are going to apply biblical principles to government. And we know from the Bible is very clear that God cares about government. He cares about who is in office, especially in America. You know, God actually tells us through the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy that we should pray for those who are in authority. But we in America not only have the right to pray, we also have the right to vote for who would be in authority over us. And because of our Constitution, we are actually in authority over those who are in office. And we have, of course, the right to run for office ourselves. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So we are going to actually look at the Bible, and we're going to apply biblical principles to government, and we are going to impress upon you, hopefully, the importance of this task and of this responsibility that we have to vote. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said this: governments, like clockworks, go from the motion men give them. And as governments are made and moved by men, so by them they are ruined too. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon governments. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, let the government never be so good. They will endeavor to warp and spoil it to their turn. Though good laws do well, good men do better, for good laws may want or lack good men and be abolished or invaded by ill men. But good men will never want good laws nor suffer or allow ill ones. Matthias Burnett, he was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Norwalk, preached this election sermon, preached at Hartford on the day of the anniversary election, May 12, 1803. Consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you. Look well to the character and qualifications of those you elect and raise to office and places of trust. Think not that your interest will be safe in the hands of the weak and ignorant, or faithfully managed by the impious, the dissolute, and the immoral. Think not that men who acknowledge not the providence of God, nor regard his laws, will be uncorrupt in office, firm in defense of the righteous cause against the oppressor, or resolutely oppose the torrent of iniquity. Watch over your liberty and privilege, your liberties and privilege, civil and religious, with a careful eye. You may think, well, wow, a pastor preaching an election sermon. But at the founding of this country, it was common. In fact, on election day, get this, pastors would gather their congregation together and preach an election sermon that often lasted 3 hours, charging them to make sure that they are electing people who are people of good report, people that are honest, people that will fear God and will honor him. And we are going to actually, again, look at the Bible, and we're going to see some of the principles, and we'll be going over this next week and the week after that and the week after that. And by the way, if you need to vote before you can hear those sermons, then go to our Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our website, covenanttabernacle.com, and scroll back to 2018 around this same time, and you'll be able to watch the sermons that I preached on these subjects during that time. One thing we see is that rulers must recognize God as our creator. Genesis 1:1 begins like this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is where it all starts. If you believe that we evolved, if you believe that everything that we see happened by chance, by random occurrence, if you believe that our ancestors were monkeys, and before that were fish, and before that were an amoeba, and before that there was nothing, and all of a sudden there was an explosion, and out of nothing, everything that exists today came into order, and that there was random mutations and genetic mutations that formed in the initial life, then you're going to believe that you're a law unto yourself, and that you're not responsible for unto God. But if you believe that you were created by God, then you believe that you are subject to his laws. Moreover, if you believe that everything happened by chance, then life really has no value. And you can actually take someone else's life, for that doesn't matter, because their life doesn't matter, even as your life doesn't matter. But if you believe that God is a creator and that he has created you, you also must believe that he's created your brother, your neighbor, those that you come in contact with. And you must realize that their life needs to be and must be protected. So we see that this is a vitally important principle, that rulers must recognize God as our creator. Also, rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. One of the questions that we added, by the way, we do have on the voter guides, we do have a question on there about creation and teaching creation in schools. Well, we also have a question. In fact, it's the very first question. Do you believe that the laws of our land should be based upon God's law, upon His word, and upon the Bible? That's a question we added 2 years ago to in the last election cycle, and we continued with it this time. Rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, this is talking about the king, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And see, we see here that the ruler, even the king, couldn't view himself as above other people, that he needed to read the word of God. He needed to read God's law. He needed to study it. He needed to have it with him so that he could know how he should act in the kingdom and receive instruction from that law, so that he could apply biblical principles to the laws of the land, and so that he would not look upon others and think that he is more high and more lofty than they are, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left hand, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. In other words, God would bless him if he was obedient to the commands of God. We see also a very clear principle in Scripture when Moses, you may remember this if you've read the Bible, and hopefully you have, and if you haven't read the Bible, by the way, you as that are listening need to be reading the Bible as well. You need to be reading the law of God, and you need to be searching and pondering and asking yourself, how does this apply not only to my life, but also to my family, to my church, and to my city, my county, my state, my nation? I mean, if God placed you today or tomorrow or this election cycle to rule your city or to be on the city council or the school board or the county commission or to be a Florida representative or a Florida senator or a U.S. representative or U.S. senator or even the governor or the president of the United States, would you know how to rule? Would you know what God's word says about government? You need to read God's word and study it and apply it, again, not only to your lives, but also to your family, your church, and to your city, state, and nation. But Moses was judging the people, and he would get up in the morning, and he would start judging them. And he'd judge them all the way to the end of the day. And people, I mean, you must have think people must have had a big long line. If they had any dispute, they would get in this line. And you'd imagine some of them probably decided, well, it's not worth it. I'm just not going to get in that line. I mean, it might probably was a bigger line than you and a longer wait than you get at the DMV today. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, said, you're going to wear the people out. You need to actually have appoint leaders over tens, over rulers, over 10s, over 50s, over hundreds, and over thousands, and then you can handle the big things that they can't handle. By the way, our founding fathers who did read the Word of God and did study God's Word and did apply biblical principles to government. They actually took this passage, and I'm referring to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. They actually took this passage, and they, out of this passage, came up with local, state, and federal government. And the federal government, this is why the Constitution says, and very, very narrowly defined what the roles of the federal government, and said that only the things that are actually given to the federal government, the federal government is allowed to do. Everything else is reserved for the states or for the people. So the founding fathers were people that did study the Word of God, and they did apply it to government. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, we read, "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men." So men that were capable. You don't want to have someone in office that is incapable, that is incompetent, that has maybe even dementia or has some mental issues. Might even think about the presidential candidates that are running, and how one of the candidates seems to be very, very forgetful. You want able men, such as fear God. So the person in office that you want to appoint needs to fear God. Men of truth, not someone that's actually going to go out and lie. Politicians on a regular basis lie. And this, by the way, is true of Republicans and Democrats and independents. We need to look for men of truth, hating covetousness. What is covetousness? It's coveting what other people have. And we've mentioned here before, there's an entire political philosophy out there that is based on covetousness, that is based on, I want the government to take from others and to give that to me. And I don't want, you know, someone that's wealthy, I don't want them to enjoy the fruit of their labor. I want the government to take their money, and I want them to give it to me because I'm too lazy to go out and be productive. I'm too lazy to do the work that is necessary to be successful. We need to look for people that are not covetous, that don't want what everyone else has. You know, when you look at these rulers and you see, by the way, our founding fathers, everyone that was in office, everyone that served this country, given that America would have existed without their service to this country, if that were assuming that, let's just assume that for a minute, every single one of them would have done better in private life than they would do in public life. That's not true of the politicians today. Many of them go in without much money, and they leave as millionaires, multimillionaires. And they're even a lot of times when they leave, they're hired by companies that they may have passed laws that benefit. Or if they're president, you know, we have several presidents of the United States that have actually gone to foreign countries that their administration gave a lot of money to, and they've been paid $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 for a speech. Well, that's payback. And by the way, they get that. They got that because they gave out your hard-earned tax dollars to that country. So we need to look for people that aren't covetous and place them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, rulers over tens. And again, whatever the local government should be able to do, the state government shouldn't be involved in it. Whatever the local government can't do, we should then look to see whether the state can do that. And if the state can do it, the federal government shouldn't have their hands in it. And only those things that the local and state government or the people themselves can't do, that's the only things that the federal government should do. And by the way, most of what the federal government should do, they're not authorized to do under the Constitution. John Jay, who was our first U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, said this in the correspondence and public papers of John Jay. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Noah Webster, in Letters to a Young Gentleman, commenting on his education, to which is subjoined a brief history of the United States, he said this: "In selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate. Look to his character. When a citizen gives his suffrage to a man of known immorality, he abuses his trust. He sacrifices not only his own interest, but that of his neighbor. He betrays the interest of his country." And Noah Webster also said this: "When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God." He is there quoting from the passage we just read in Exodus chapter 18. "The preservation of government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupt. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for selfish and local purposes. Corrupt and incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. If a Republican government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws." You see, we can't look at government, and a lot of people do look at government today and complain about how wicked and corrupt they are, and how they, in fact, people even want term limits so that we can limit how much damage they can do. Yet they're there because we put them there. Maybe you didn't vote for them, but the majority of the voters did vote for them. And so it is important for us to examine where the candidates stand on these issues, on issues of importance. It's important that we study, that we understand what God says about certain issues and where the candidates stand on these issues. And one of the things that's important also is not just that we look at those who are in office, but we also look at the judges. And this is vitally important because we know that several judges are appointed by governors and also appointed by presidents. So that makes it very important, vitally important, who we select as the governor and who we select as the president. But also, some of the judges we can vote for or vote to retain or kick them out. Judges must judge the people justly. And we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. "You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live in the and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So it's vitally important that we not only elect good men to and women to rule over us, but also that where we have a say in the judges, that we make sure, and this is one of the most difficult areas, because judges the Florida bar and the other bars won't allow judges to answer questions about where they stand on life, where they stand on liberty, where they stand on some of these issues that are so important. I do want to remind you, we will be continuing this over the next few weeks. You can view these sermons at covenanttabernacle.com. You can view past sermons if you scroll back 2 years ago. You can also go to our Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. Again, you'll be able to view current sermons, but also scrolling back 2 years, you'll be able to see these sermons there as well. What the sermons that we preached, very similar sermons 2 years ago, applying biblical principles to government. You can also go to our voter guide website. You can go to FloridaVotesValues.com. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com. It is important that we study the Bible to know what God says about these issues, that we also study the candidates to know where they stand on these issues, and that we vote for men who are righteous, men who fear God, men who are of good reputation, men who not only are of good reputation, but men who will uphold the principles of the Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.